This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, the Sabres get a point in Detroit. That's the good news. The bad news is... It stung right away. You're feeling good about getting to overtime. The Sabres like, okay, here we go. Now we got a chance to win it. And immediately it's over. Lucas Raymond is 9th of the season in the opening seconds, 26 seconds to be exact, as he beats Dustin Tokarski. And I'd like to get just another look at that game winner. I know Darlene, Rob was saying, was there and that it may have glanced off his skate or off his stick. Maybe if Tokarski ends up being one of our interviews, we'll find out if he thought it did. But I guess you can look at this two ways. The Sabres are playing 5 games in 7 nights. And clearly, they were running near empty there at the end. And they got a goal from Jeff Skinner, from one of their guys that gets paid a lot of money to score. And they got you a point. To Detroit again, for those of you that are worried about the standings, that care about that, which... I care about. I'd like to see them finish as high as possible in the division. Like, that's another game where you let Detroit move another point ahead of you in the standings, so that's not great. I know, there's a chance to maybe get on a 3-game win streak here. You've got winnable games. Montreal, you already won. Detroit, Seattle coming up Monday, but I know Paul was saying, on pregame, hey, could you get 5 out of 6? So maybe that's that's obviously still in play, but... The excitement of the Skinner goal, thinking, hey, the Sabres have a chance, to all of a sudden it being ripped right away from you. But the Sabres, though, at least when that goal goes in, got a point in overtime. So that's the good news as Skinner gets his 6th of the season at 18:23 of the third. Tokarski, very busy. 41 shots, 38 saves. And he'll be a part of the interviews now, we're being told, from the Sabres. We'll hear from Dustin Tokarski and Jeff Skinner coming up here in just a matter of moments on our Sabres post-game show. We'll get you highlights here coming up, too, in just 1 second. Also, no power plays the entire game for the Sabres. It's kind of an odd thing. It's happened before, but to have no power plays the entire game, there's a chance where maybe you don't have to be full capacity in terms of the effort and the energy with your legs. You can kind of move the puck around a little and be patient. And Sabres never had a chance to go on the power play. I guess for their sake, luckily they were able to kill off all of Detroit's opportunities. Detroit went 0 of 3. But the shot totals end up 41-28 in favor of the Wings. But Tokarski, in many ways, again, doing his job because he was a huge part of the Sabres getting this point here tonight over Detroit. All right, we're going to get you highlights here, and then we'll be heading to Detroit for some player reaction. Also, Don Granato coming up and Paul Hamilton. But let's get to the highlights from this one here, and the highlights are brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs. We go to period number 2. It's still scoreless. Buffalo getting on the board. Murray finds Dylan Cousins going to the net, and the Sabres take the lead.
Nemestikov fires that one. High and wide. Opozo back the other way. Cousins sprints to the blue line. Last man in. Murray Cousins tips that one. What a play to the net for the Buffalo Sabres. As they take a 1-0 lead.
Cousins, his 5th of the year. Murray and Opozo setting him up. 1-0 Buffalo. A little more than 4 minutes later, Red Wings able to get on the board. They're crashing the net and finally get the puck by Tokarski to tie things up at 1.
As the Sabres come to center, but in a backwards motion there, Asplund could not advance. Rowney plays it to the boards. Now it's sent back towards the point, right in front. That one's going in. It gets behind Tokarski with both Rowney and Sedina in front of the net.
All right, so Rowney scores. That ties it at one. We're going to hold on our highlights here because we've got player reaction coming in live from Detroit. We go. Here's Jeff Skinner speaking with the media.
Just from an energy standpoint and just to try to keep the energy up and try to get something out of that game?
I mean, it's a challenge, but, like, that's just part of the game. Everyone has goes through stretches where they have tough schedules, and you have to find a way to battle and grind through it. We got a lot of guys, so you can shoulder the load together. But I think they obviously came up pretty hot at the start. And I thought we did a good job of weathering that sort of storm there. Thought Ticker made some big saves. Obviously, we had to get some pretty big penalty kills, which we were able to do. And then we take it to overtime, and it could go either way from there.
Jeff, certainly it doesn't end the way you guys want, but how good does it feel to squeeze that tying goal out and get Tokarski a point in that game the way he played?
Yeah, he was great. I think he's been great for a while for us. So, obviously it's nice to get that point, especially as it's been mentioned, 5-7. You are trying to find ways to get wins, try and find ways to get points, and hopefully it's something to build on.
Jeff, on your goal, if you could just describe a little bit, it looked like you kind of read that play very well, knowing that, you know, where the shot was going to be and where you needed to be for that. How did you see it?
Yeah, I thought we had some good motion. There's a couple bouncing pucks, and guys did a great job of sort of battling to kind of get control. And then once they did, I think after maybe Tomer had a pretty good chance there in the slot, Eakes kind of got on the puck. He made a good play there I think it might have been Miller up top. And when you're in front there, 6-on-5, you just try and stay loose, really, just in case there's a rebound, deflection, and fortunately I was able to get my stick on it and went in.
Anyone else for Jeff? All right, you're good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There is Sabre forward Jeff Skinner. He gets his sixth of the season in the 6-on-5 situation. As Buffalo able to tie things up with 1:37 to go in the third period. And again, Skinner, I thought, did a nice job to put himself in a good position there. It was a real nice play, though. Dahlin with the puck at the point, just like you'd want. Slides it over to Eakin, who was ready with his one-timer. And on the way to the net, Skinner able to redirect it and have it go in for his sixth of the season. That made it a 2-2 game, and then, of course, Raymond ends up winning it in overtime. But the Sabres with 1 point in this game. Let's see how the standings look here while we wait to hear from Dustin Tokarski, which will be the next interview. Sabres coming in 8-10-2, and now improve. I guess you'd say improve. I don't know. Is that improve or not improve when you get a point, but it's a loss? 8-10-3. 19 points. I could say they improved their point total. 19 points, one behind the Bruins, who have 20, but the Wings pick up a point on them in the standings. Detroit has 23. Detroit definitely much higher in the standings than I thought they would be at this point. Florida and Toronto are tied for first in the Atlantic with 31 apiece. Then you've got Tampa with 27, Detroit with 23, then the Bruins with 20, Buffalo with 19 now with the 8-10-3 record. And then there's a big gap from Buffalo down. If you go down, Montreal is next with 12. They've got a whole bunch of stuff going on with their GM, which we can get into later. And then Ottawa, who has been a disaster. They only have one win in their last 10 games. They've lost four in a row. They only have 9 points. So as of this moment, it looks like the Sabres at least are separating themselves from the Habs and the Sens. I thought a realistic goal for them coming into this season, could they at least be ahead of Ottawa and Detroit? Now, Detroit's playing better than I thought. Montreal's not playing as good as I thought. I know, obviously, you know, before the season started, I did not predict they'd be without Carey Price or Shea Weber. But If the I still think the Sabres can be better than Detroit by the end of the season. They've got a game in hand on them and still a ton of time to go. I mean, they're not even at the quarter point yet of the season. Well, you really just about are at the quarter point of the season now with these 21 games played. But I think, you know, could the Sabres finish fifth in the division? That means moving ahead of Detroit, Montreal, and Ottawa by the time it's done. I just don't see the Sabres being ahead of Boston, Tampa, Toronto, or Florida. Now, again, there's a lot of season to go. Things can happen. Injuries can happen to other teams. Sabres could have call-ups. There still could be other trades coming at some point that maybe this roster will look a little different. I know every night when the Amerks play, there's excitement to see what's going on in Rochester. Jack Quinn had another great game tonight for the Amerks. They won against Syracuse. So the you know, that thought of, okay, when is Quinn going to come up? When is Krebs going to come up? When is Paterka going to come up? There's some, you know, excitement there on what's going on with the Amerks, which is good. We haven't had that for quite a while. Every time the Sabres have drafted high here over these this decade of being bad, they've picked so high that usually that first round pick ends up just coming to play right away. Like Dahlin, of course, Eichel, Reinhart, even Gergensen's. Haven't spent a ton of time in Rochester. And Gregorenko, there was another one there. He was up and down there for a while. But there wasn't that, like, building of draft picks that all get to play together in Rochester and come up together. The last time they really had that was the group that had Vanek and Pominville and Roy and Stafford and all these McKee and all these Campbell, all these guys that came up from Rochester. And well, guess what? Where that team ended up going, right? That core group was a big part of the teams that went to the back-to-back conference finals. So it would be nice to see if the Sabres are building something here with that group in Rochester as they win again tonight in Syracuse. All right, while we wait for Dustin Tokarski, TJ, let's pick up where we left off with the highlights. It was a 1-1 game after Rowney's goal at 9:56 in the second. A few minutes later, the Red Wings take the lead. Suter poking around in the crease, and he gets the puck to go in for his fifth of the year, and Detroit grabs their first lead.
Red Wings down low in the Buffalo zone, trying to play it up the wall. Oposo got a stick on it, not enough to move it out. Giovanni Smith for Fabry. Up top, shot stopped. Still loose, they tap it in. Suter stayed with the play. Tokarski again objecting to how that puck was jammed in the net.
Sabres thought about challenging it. Don Granato on the bench for a while, but let it go. Suter's fifth at 11:15 gave Detroit a 2-1 lead. That was the score through two periods of play. We go to the third, and Buffalo late with the goaltender pulled. 6-on-5, able to tie it up. It's Jeff Skinner, his sixth of the year, tied at 2.
Thompson, by some room, fires a shot. That's stopped, and now Eakin trying to play it back to the line. One-timer with traffic in front. Eakin battles to keep possession. Eakin winds and fires, scores! 1:37 to go in the third. Eakin with the shot and traffic in front of the net. The deflection for Skinner, we're all even at 2 apiece.
Dahlin setting up Skinner for his sixth on a redirect with 1:37 to go. For the Sabres, that got him the big point, getting it to overtime, and that's the play of the game, brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. You can bet on Buffalo with Seneca Resorts and Casinos. It goes to the overtime, and, well, didn't last very long. The opening shift, the Wings win it with Raymond's ninth.
Sabres looking for a moment on the road. Overtime underway, and Buffalo attacking right to left, and Tage Thompson giving her own a call he can handle, along with Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond. Raymond will make his way in. Shot scores, went 5-0, I believe, on Tokarski. And that quickly, the overtime comes to an end.
Raymond's ninth, 26 seconds in, beating Tokarski. 3-2 Detroit. That is your game winner. Buffalo record now goes to 8-10-3. 19 points after Detroit wins it tonight by a final score of 3-2. Final shot totals, Sabres with 7 in the first, 13 in the second, 8 in the third, none in the overtime, 28 total. For the Wings, 11 in the first, 18 in the second, 11 in the third, 1 in the OT. That's the one that went in, of course. 41 total, 41-28 shots in favor of Detroit. Power plays, Buffalo did not get a chance the entire game to go on the power play. So officially 0 of 0. Detroit, 3 cracks at it, 0 of 3. Alex Nedeljkovic getting the win in goal, 28 shots, 26 saves. Dustin Tokarski, very busy, deserving the point tonight. He hates the loss, 38 saves. And speaking of Tokarski, he's now live in Detroit. More post-game reaction as we go to Little Caesars Arena.
Justin, obviously it didn't bother you at all to play two games in a row like that, but are your preparations any different when you do get an assignment to get the two games in a row back to back?
Not really, honestly. Just kind of do the same thing I do in any game day. I didn't have a pregame skate, so just kind of rested up, got a good meal in the morning, had a stretch, and got ready to go.
Justin, you've been very locked in the last, you know, whatever, 7-8 periods. Just what after having an off game or whatever, just what's helped you find that groove again, in your opinion?
Honestly, I mean, I don't think anything. I think just, maybe just a couple, mental errors on approaches to shots in the game and a half there. And, you just got to remember what your strengths are and work in the practice and then have a short memory. There's ups and downs. And, if you have a good game, you got to put it behind you and focus on the next one. If you have a bad one, you got to do the same thing. Our guys are playing a ton of games in a short amount of time. And I thought they'd battle all night and got a huge point there.
Yeah, Dustin, along those lines, a game you make 38 saves, how stoked were you to see Skinner's goal go in and get that thing even?
Oh, I was jacked up on the bench there for sure. Show some character. Skinny's been playing some great hockey for us, so it's fun to see. And, we're a team that I don't think is ever out of a fight, no matter the score. And it's good to see and get to overtime there for a big point in a lot of games in a short amount of time. And unfortunately, they got that one on the overtime I should have had. But, I think the guys will be happy with getting a point and working hard and competing for a full 60.
Dustin, on the second goal, you had a guy right on you. There was some contact on that play. How did you feel about that? Do you think that should have been interference or how did you feel about that?
Obviously, being the goaltender asking me, I'll say I thought there was some interference, but I trust our staff completely. And, they had the looks on it, obviously, from camera angles, this and that, and they chose not to. And I trust them. And we decided not to because if it wouldn't have been, they would have got a power play. Maybe it could have been the right call because maybe they get the power play, get another one. Maybe we don't get that point. So I trust our staff to make those calls. And as a goaltender, I thought there was a little bit, but, according to the rule, I really don't know if it would have been or not.
Dustin, what did you see on the overtime goal? Did it get screened by Rasmus or you just didn't get it?
Honestly, he was coming down. I saw it the whole way. I think it's just one of those ones, I should have saved it. I know probably for a fact that's not where he was shooting. So there's a little bit of just took something off it, handcuffed me, and, it slid through. It should have been a save. And who knows if we get that extra point later.
That's it.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, hang on. Sorry, Paul's got one more.
Okay.
Dustin, in the end, you guys just played 5 and 7 back to back at the end of it, and you get 3 out of 4 points. I know you always want to win every game, but can you look at it and say, considering the schedule, to take 3 out of 4 on this weekend is good?
I think so. As you said, you don't want to be satisfied with a loss, but it's a long season, a ton of games lately, especially on the road on a back to back and in a building that was rocking, and they played a good game too. So the guys just keep it a close game, play good. We had a lead there, lots of good pushes in the game. I thought it was huge for a group. It just showed some resiliency for sure.
All right, we're good now. Thanks, Dustin.
All right, there's Dustin Tokarski, second star honors tonight for Tokarski. Suter with a goal. He ends up with star number 3, Raymond, the game winner, star number 1, but Tokarski, well-deserved, second-star honors, 38 saves. And look at, how can he not like the guy there? He took ownership for it. He's like, yeah, I saw it. Should have been a stop. I mean, a lot of times you'll hear players give reasons or excuses why. He's just like, look, I should have had it. So good for him that he's at least stand up and answering honestly there. It's the guy that you want to root for sure. Sabres fall 3-2 in overtime. Next up, Seattle Kraken, making their first visit to Buffalo Monday night at 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center. Okay, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more postgame coming up. Don Granato and then Paul Hamilton's take. All coming up. 3-2 Detroit over Buffalo in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Back here on the Sabres postgame. Brian Colziel with you. Hope you're having a great Saturday night. Sabres get a point in Detroit. Fall 3-2 in overtime. Lucas Raymond scoring 26 seconds in. But Buffalo getting a point after it looked like they were on their way to a regulation loss. Jeff Skinner, a big redirect on a 6-on-5 with Tokarski pulled with 1:37 left, gets it done. And that gets the Sabres a point, which, again, against Detroit, you probably sit here and say, well, it's a loss. That's not good. But 5 games in 7 nights. You end the week with an, you know, road home, then road travel in between. Tokarski playing back-to-back nights. And Tokarski was great. He really was. I mean, I know I said going to break, just how likable he is. Every time I hear him talk, I like him more and more. I mean, I'm not expecting Dustin Tokarski to have a huge ego. This guy isn't someone that's won the Vezina Trophy or anything like that. But he is taking advantage of basically, I got to think it's his last great shot here in the NHL to play, and he's taken full advantage of it. And we know right now it's unfortunate because Craig Anderson's out with an injury, still listed as week to week, but Tokarski's going to play a lot here and probably as much as he physically can. And he's taking advantage of it for the most part, and he's had a really, really good week, I think. The injury to Anderson still, again, listed as week to week. The Sabres at this moment, Elliot Friedman said on his podcast that there's been talks that maybe the Sabres are looking for a goaltender, but no official news from the team at the moment. But the injury report on Anderson there, it's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Brian Colziel here on the postgame. Again, Paul Hamilton's take coming up in just a few moments. We'll also get the scores from around the NHL. But first, we are ready to hear from Sabres head coach Don Granato. Let's go live to Detroit.
On a hockey you guys played, it just seemed like at times you guys just couldn't keep the legs moving or anything. But on the other side, do you just look at it? They found a way. They just found a way to get a point out of that game.
We had a real good push in the third, Paul. And, you know, that's important. You know, it's almost a game where, you know, you're fighting energy a little bit. You play a team that's fresh. They know it. It's like they smell blood and water. And you've got to manage it a little bit and then find a time to push. And Ticker did his job to keep it tight. And we had a good push at the end. So I was happy with that. Obviously, to get a point was important. It's certainly better than not getting a point. So I give our guys credit for that.
As far as Dustin's performance goes, to get that kind of performance after playing the night before, just how happy are you? Just how happy are you that you guys could get it to overtime for him with that late goal?
Yeah, he was sharp and confident. The saves. I think that the two goals against were the only times he didn't look very comfortable. I don't think his confidence, I don't question that at all at any point. But every time he was, comfortable in a posture, he was in front of the puck and stood tall. And it was great to see. So he did not show any signs of fatigue. And that is obviously a concern. And when you play him back to back, and he passed that test perfectly.
On the potential choice of the challenge on the second goal, was it just too close a call to weigh with the potential of having the power play against you if it doesn't go your way?
Yeah, you weigh that, Mike, but I have to say, I will take that. I told the team I apologize. That's a mistake. I should have made that call. I felt after. I didn't have a good enough video on the bench. We had some trouble with video. You guys had much better video than we had. I will say that. I'm sure of that because I saw something different later. But you would have run the risk of having to kill a penalty. If you give up a goal, it's 3-1. It's a different game. But I think, after the fact, it should have been called. So I said, I don't have anybody to blame but myself on that one. But felt for Ticker too. But again, the video that I had at that moment wasn't good enough for me, and it's the way it was. So
I know you want 4 points out of the last two games, but considering it's 5 out of 7, the second game's on the road, it's back to back. You get 3 out of 4 points. Can you be happy with that?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, points are nice, Paul. There's no question. And it's much better than not getting some points. So that's an easy one. But for us, and I say that and put that aside, for us, it's about competing, working. And we know if we compete, that's why I liked our third period. We elevated. We took more time and space away from them. We played more aggressive. Now, I don't know that we could have done that for 60 minutes, but we knew we could finish the game, and we had to, you know, empty the tank at that point. And I'm happy for that, because that's what we have to do. We have to push and grind and completely drain ourselves by the end with work ethic. And I'm happy for that, because I do believe that's what's going to make us better each day, and we know we have to become better each day. Mike, I can't hear you.
There we go. Not to belabor the point, Don, but just so I'm clear, was there technical issue with the video in the back that they were watching, or with yours?
There was. I couldn't see it, and then our guys didn't have full view of overhead. So the screen behind me was flickering, which shouldn't, you know, but it was tough. And then, like I said, I saw a clear picture after the fact, and regardless, no excuse. I should have, if I had it to do again, I would have done it just to defend Ticker and, you know, and put confidence in our penalty kill at that point. So, unfortunately, you move on, but I just wish I was a little more aggressive on it, I guess, Mike, if that helps.
That's it, Donnie. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, there is Sabres head coach Don Granato, his post-game comments, and had praise for Tokarski, praise for his team's fight, but not happy with himself on that challenge on the Detroit goal. We'll get Paul Hamilton's thoughts on whether or not he should have challenged it here in just a moment, as he'll be joining us here after we do a scoreboard. But, there's two players. There's two people tonight. Again, I know this is going to sound like, you know, I'm making something positive out of a loss, which I'm not. But these are players and coaches that I think are a reason why Sabre fans are going to come around, if they haven't already, on this regime. Tokarski is not going to likely be the goaltender that maybe you hope that the Sabres go on to a chance at the Stanley Cup with, but he can be in the organization in some capacity, and he owns up for the goal in overtime, takes the blame, like, no excuses. I'm rooting for a guy that owns up like that. Look at, we're human beings. Everybody that's listening here, at some point, you've played a sport at some level where you made a mistake and you feel like crap, and, you know, Tokarski, I'm sure, did, even though he might have been the best player on the ice. But he owned up right to it, so I thought that was great. And then Granato did the same thing. He said, look, I didn't have good video. He didn't even blame the technology until Mike Harrington followed up with it. He just said, look, I didn't have good video. I didn't have enough confidence in it. I didn't want to do it. He's like, it's my mistake. I apologize to the team. Like, you know, those are the sort of things that I think are going to win players over in the room, knowing that, hey, everybody's in this together here. Nobody's perfect. And I think that's the reason why this team is very likable, despite the fact that their record isn't great. And we know their record isn't going to be phenomenal this year, but to me, like, those are guys I can get behind and root for. And I think, you know, in this town, it doesn't take much. All I think fans want, whether it's the Bills or the Sabres or any other team that the area roots for, like, you want to feel like there's a reason to root for these guys beyond even just the wins and losses. And we know that the Bills have made that work in a big way with the community. Look what's happening with Tre'Davious White now, with the donations for his charity today, even online, with his injury and how connected everybody feels. And that's the way the Sabres and fans had it coming out of the lockout with the Brière Drury team and the Ryan Millers and, you know, all these guys that just connected with the community. For a long time here, the Sabres have not connected with the community. A lot of it is because of losing, but even when they were winning and the Sabres better players, like, you didn't feel that connection. And I know I'm maybe belaboring a point here that's maybe too long here for someone that just didn't challenge a goal. But I think Don Granato, Dustin Karski, some of these other guys, Dylan Cousins, I mean, I think these are guys that fans are going to rally behind. So, I, you know, part of the reason, too, I feel like there's hope that maybe for what seems like an impossible task to turn this franchise around, maybe Don Granato can be the guy to do it. All right, Paul Hamilton is with us now. Paul, I was just saying how much you want to blame Tokarski for the game winner or Granato for not challenging. I said I respect them both for just coming out and admitting that Tokarski said it should have made a save. Granato said, I apologize to the team. I should have challenged. Like, those are sort of things that we haven't heard from this organization. People taking ownership, whether it was a mistake or whether it wasn't, like, those are guys that I feel like fans can get behind and root for. We always have an excuse coming up all the time over this decade of missing the playoffs. And, you know, I think that those are two guys that fans can root for because they just say, hey, I should have made that save. I should have challenged right there. And, you know, we can get to it getting to overtime. I just thought those two quotes from those two guys there was nice. I think that's a reason fans can get behind them.
Yeah, Tokarski easily could have said he was screened because I thought he was. I thought Raymond set up the screen perfectly, but he said, no, I saw it. He goes, I thought it was going to go someplace else. He handcuffed me, but he said, I saw it, and, you know, he should have had it. And so, you know, that's – he had the easy out and didn't take it, you know. So that was I respect Granato that, you know, he would have challenged it and just put it on his penalty kill, but I'll just say I respectfully disagree with him to challenge that. Because we've seen too many times how this just gets rolling out of control, and you just gave up two goals in a minute 19 to make it 2-1. And if I don't think they would have overturned it, it was too close. And if they don't overturn it, now you put them on the power play, and if you get that third goal, you're done. And so I wouldn't have. That doesn't mean I'm right. I mean, he's an NHL coach. He knows what he's doing. He seemed a little perturbed that his video wasn't working the way it should have been behind the bench. That's out of his control. There's nothing he can do. I don't even know, you know, why was the people in the dressing room were doing video? Why is their video not working right? I mean, that's on the Red Wings. I mean, that can't happen either, where they can't see the replay as well as we can. You know, it seems like we got better looks at it than they do, and they always get different looks than we do. I mean, they should have the better look at it. But I respect his decision that he would have challenged it, and, you know, maybe he would have been right, and then maybe it's a whole different story. Then it's 1-1 at that point, and you see where you go, but, you know, he was remorseful that he did not challenge that.
Paul Tokarski, as we debate about that last goal, whether he was screened or not, I mean, we were questioning, okay, could he go back-to-back? He did it once last year. Would Granato do it? Did let last night set up nicely for it? Okay, yes, it did. Like, so some of the cards fell into place, but my goodness, 41 shots again, and the fact that he only let up two goals in regulation, like, he obviously was the biggest reason why this team was able to get the point tonight.
Yeah, he did great, even if he should have had the last goal, you know, so be it. You know, he was the best option, and I thought it went really well, and you probably don't even get a point out of it if he doesn't play as well as he did. So, all right, if the overtime goal was his fault, so what? It's still, they got a point out of it because of a lot of the saves he made before that. And, you know, I know it's always bottom-lined, and, well, you should get 4 points, and you shouldn't be satisfied with three, but, you know, there were times they couldn't even move their legs. Their legs were standing still. They couldn't get going. The energy was low at times. And I told you before we started last night, yeah, go win three games, but if you can take two and get the loser point out of the other, you're still, I think, in very good shape for these three games, because you've got the five games in 7 nights, and the last two games are back-to-back going on the road against a team that's sitting there waiting for you since Wednesday. And still to be able to get the loser point out of it, you know, I think if they beat Seattle on Monday, they've done very well to get 5 out of 6 points out of this stretch. And so, you know, I wouldn't criticize them at all for their game tonight. I think they gutted it out. It was a difficult game to play because they were shot. They were out of gas at times. They really were. And I understand why. There's a reason why you only get five games and seven nights once in a season. And it's a tough game to play. And if you can get a point out of it after you get 2 points the night before, I think you've done just fine.
Paul, let's talk about that Skinner game tire there. Some nice puck movement. And Skinner with some good hand-eye coordination. How'd you see that goal develop?
That's the kind of goal he's pretty good at. He does have that good hand eye. You know, it's almost like he bunted that out of the air. And you know, he knows where to be on those types of scenarios, too. He sees the puck going to Eakin for the one-timer. If anybody's screaming, why was Eakin on the ice? It's to win the faceoff. They're the worst team in the league at faceoffs, and he's their best guy. You can't afford to lose a faceoff there and have the puck knocked out and have them maybe score the goal when they get it out. So, and he did his job. He did win the faceoff. So that was very important for them to get possession of the puck. And then he makes a nice play getting the one-time shot anyway. That's a, you know, a real nice play for him to get that off and get it through to where Skinner can tip it. So that's, you know, the type of goal he can score. And, you know, you're a little disappointed or a lot of disappointed on the two-on-one when he comes down and he tries to force a pass to Olofsson that isn't even close to being there when, you know, you would rather he shoot. You know, so, you know, that one went by the board. And, you know, that line persevered too because, quite honestly, that line was not with it. They were not sharp tonight. They just weren't. And that might be the first time I've said that of the Thompson line almost all year. I mean, they're usually right on top of their game. And they just weren't sharp, but you know, in the end, they found a way. And that's the thing. They found a way to get a point out of this, and they didn't get two, but at least they got the point out of it and got it to overtime to get the opportunity to try to get 2 points out of the game. And so, you know, I give that line credit for, even though it wasn't their best game by far, it wasn't their best game, they still persevered and in the end came through.
3-2 overtime win for Detroit over Buffalo. Raymond's goal 26 seconds in, the difference. Okay, Paul, so as you mentioned, a point and a chance to get that 5 out of 6 stretch on Monday. Seattle comes to town for the first time ever. So for those that want to see the Kraken, they can do it. And Seattle is struggling more than I think people had predicted, Paul, in terms of how they started their season so far.
Well, after they got their players, I actually thought they'd be worse than they are. I didn't think they'd be good at all when I saw the players that they drafted in the expansion draft. So they're actually a little better than I thought they'd be.
You were right, because most of the quote experts had them like picked as a playoff team for some reason.
No, I didn't even think it was going to be close. And, you know, I think their best game by far was the game Buffalo played there in Seattle. You know, they haven't really done much since then. And so you can't let that happen again. You can't let them come at you like that and you know, have that kind of a game played against you. So I think they'll be much better at home. They'll get tomorrow off, try to get themselves rested again and ready to go. And as I said before the game last night, go out and get 5 out of 6 points, and I think you're going to feel much better about yourself and the team as you move forward.
The Kraken, by the way, won in Florida tonight, 4-1.
They did.
So they'll come in with a win, yeah.
So, yeah, they can, every now and then, they can put a game together. You know, they did against the Sabres. Obviously, they did. I don't know how the game went today. I don't know if, you know, they didn't deserve it or if, you know, they just got some goals they didn't deserve or they really did deserve it like they did against the Sabres. But, yeah, good for them.
Yeah, they got 2 goals from Eberle. He's up to 11 on the year. They led 2-1 going to the third and then scored twice in the third. Doesn't look like any empties either, at least according to the score sheet. So a 4-1 win against a good Florida team. That's an impressive win. Florida's in first place for a reason. So Seattle and Buffalo coming up Monday. And then Buffalo gets to play Florida next week, Paul.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how, you know, I'm just wondering how at least they'll be a little bit rested for that game, you know, once you get out of the Seattle game.
That's right. And down in South Florida always gives you energy with the nice warm weather now that it was snowing here today. Yeah, snowing harder in Detroit, though.
I think they might be going down there a day early just to, you know, get down there and, you know, get some of the coldness out of them. I saw it was snowing pretty hard at the stadium where the broadcast was tonight.
Yeah, it wasn't snowing in Amherst, but it was down in Orchard Park. I saw that. Yeah, they were showing the the scoreboard and everything. But, and, you know, I know it was snowing hard in Michigan all day where this game was, because it's watching the Ohio State-Michigan game and then Penn State-Michigan State later. It was snowing very hard in Ann Arbor and in East Lansing. So hopefully the Sabres get their flight out quickly and get home. I'm sure they all are very excited to get home and get into their beds and get some sleep.
And I hope they're all listening down there. I mean, Rob usually is down by the benches for the game. So why not, when they're at the stadium, have him go down to the Bills bench and be down there for the game? You know,
what
if it's snowing a little bit? I think that would be, you know, good for him to be down there and trying to do the game from down there.
Rob's tough. He can go outside in the elements. I wouldn't worry about that.
Is he still tough? He is like 75 years old or something like that. I don't know if he's still tough anymore.
We'll ask him Monday when we see him in the press box. We'll ask him, are you still tough, Rob? I'm sure he'll have a wise answer for us. All right, Paul, we'll enjoy football tomorrow, and I'll see you Monday at the arena for the Sabres and the Kraken.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. Have a good weekend. All right, Paul Hamilton with us here on the post game, 3-2, Detroit victorious. And the Kraken getting a win. If you want to watch hockey, there's still games going on. Let's see. What are the late games here? Jets Flames is your late hockey night in Canada game. 1-0 Calgary. The Flames are so good. So good. Oh, we want to make it an official update? All right, here we go.
I mean, around the NHL. I'm just going to start naming scores. I'm going to give you the
Well, I was just going to tell you the three games that are underway, but okay. We can do it. We can do a full scoreboard here. We mentioned the Kraken. They beat the Panthers, but games underway. They're in the first. Flames a 1-0 lead on the Jets. Mid-second period, Colorado beating Nashville 3-1. The Blues, late third, rolling Columbus 6-2. 5 minutes to go in the third in Arizona. The Stars lead the Coyotes 3-2. All these games are finals. Canadiens beat the Penguins 6-3. Kings doubling up the Senators 4-2. The Oilers hang on to beat the Golden Knights by a 3-2 score. So those are your NHL games. Again, we mentioned the Amerks beat the Crunch 4-2. Jack Quinn had a goal and an assist. Niagara College Hockey lost against Michigan 4-1. St. Bonaventure in college hoops ranked 16th in the country. Their first loss of the season, they lost to Northern Iowa 90-80. So there's your local scores of interest. And, of course, our score, Detroit 3, Buffalo 2 in overtime. Sabres get a point. 8-10-3 is their record. Seattle on Monday at 7. We'll have the pregame at 6 on WGR. And that will put a wrap here on our busiest week of the season. 5 games in 7 days. Want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media and game story, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray on the call, and my name is Brian Colesdale. I thank you, the listeners, for being with us all night long. Detroit wins at no T, 3-2. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll talk Monday night from downtown Buffalo with the Kraken in town as they'll be taking on the Sabres right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.